Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Armstrong, and we are here tonight to recap tonight's eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 11, where we once again crowned an HOH, which really just it has my spirits risen. So let's talk about it. With me tonight to talk through the eviction is Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. I was really excited coming onto this podcast thinking, oh, well, it's fine. Like after, you know, we don't have a ton to talk about with the eviction. But then after that, we could talk about spoilers. And then I remembered we don't have any because it was an eviction episode. So I was really hoping to just learn about all the gems that you had gathered from watching a daily drop in between the episode and now. That didn't happen, obviously.
Yes. Well, at least we do have HOH results, and with us to talk through those as well is Asia. How are you doing, Asia?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing fine. All right. You ready? Okay. Oh, I thought you were doing our dance.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Clap, clap.
Yeah.
Clap,
and then every TikTok combination dance that we can think of. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That was beautiful.
We'll get it right later on.
Yeah, we have to practice multiple times. Yeah.
Once we read the votes, it'll be good. With us as well tonight is the man who has a crown behind his head, Kevin. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great. I mean, I'm just living my life, trying not to be a rubbish person because otherwise, I'm gonna be next.
Don't be a rubbish person.
It's good advice. It's hard. It's hard not to be a rubbish person.
I feel like it's pretty easy to not be a rubbish person. Just don't put Koozie on the block. That's the criteria.
It's hard. It's hard when she's playing a great game.
All right. Well, let's talk through this episode. It was actually kind of a packed episode overall. I mean, we had fallout from the veto competition. Then the veto ceremony, fallout from the veto ceremony. We had a jury segment. We had campaigns. We had a vote. And then again, we had a whole HOH competition with results. And Renee is the new HOH. Listen, the episode started like this.
Claudia opted for the biggest, the baddest, The battle tested.
I pick Renee.
Wait, what? She picked Renee?
Oh. Are you freaking joking? Oh, God.
And okay, it ended Renee. With this.
Renee, you are the new head of...
The beliefs. This is Jerry Springer.
Okay, you can make fun of it, but that was probably the first time that I've laughed at one of those intro speech things in a long time. That one was good. In the recap.
He was having fun tonight. He
was. I mean, listen, throughout Big Brother Canada 10, we had a running kind of competition for who had the best competition celebration after winning, because there were so many good ones between Mooses, like check, like you thought you could take me out, and Helena's like basic mid me, you know, like there were so many good ones. I feel like they've been really lacking this season, but we finally have a contender with this.
Renee, you are the new head of.
Just completely, you can't understand a word she's saying.
The way that
bleeps,
the way they bleeped it made it sound like, Renee, you are the new effing head of household. Yes.
There's a time and a place for the cussing, and this is it.
Yeah,
I guess she felt like she was the last person ever to be able to win an HOH. So I get it. I mean, even the announcer, like, we get it. That's hilarious. I mean, she deserves that celebration because, I mean, who would have thought?
Yeah, you get this idea in your head when you're not doing well, you can't win these party games of stepping up and down on a staircase or rolling a ball down these things. And it starts to get to you. And clearly everybody had this idea about her. And now they're looking at Renee at the final seven, be like, okay.
I like that you phrase that as if the difficult part of the competition is the stepping up and down on the staircase.
In the moment, I don't know if you're asking those questions. Like, you got to think fast. You might have the answer. It's also confusing when she's like, happened before or after. You might know and you might mix up how she asked it. Like, it is not the hard part of the copyright.
Now that you mention it, though, like, do they have any like mats or padding? Because I could easily see myself like going to step up backwards and catching my foot on the step and just falling straight back off the back of the thing.
You don't have to step backwards, surely.
I mean, most people will turn sideways a little bit, but like, you know, you're in the middle of thinking. You're like, okay, I'm pretty sure it's this one. You start to move. Maybe you're not thinking about where your feet go. I could easily see a disaster happening here.
I think you're being facetious, but I would love to see it happen. I would love to see someone just fall back.
Look, not everyone has the feet and running skills of Mary that they can just automatically stay upright on stairs.
I mean, and then the height of the stairs. I mean, I, for one, have fallen down my stairs before. Right before a podcast one time. It was pretty dramatic. I had my tea in my hand. It was Big Brother because it was before a round table because I was coming on with you and Melissa, and I forgot something, turned around on my stairs, underestimated the amount of stairs I had. And so then I missed the last step, dropped my tea, broke my tea cup. What's it called? Mug. I broke my mug. It was so, yeah. It was so dramatic. But yeah, I could easily see someone thinking that the stair is smaller. I'm surprised we've never seen that. Like, we've never seen someone trip.
I also really liked the fact that the stairs were carpeted because they were trying to hide the noise of whether you're stepping up or down, right? They don't want people to be able to listen. And then as I was like, there you go. Carpeted stairs so that they won't hear anything. And then as they go to step up or down, it's just creaking stairs so much louder than footsteps would be. It's like, have you not like upgraded your set of stairs since season one? What's going on here?
No, these are the type of bleachers they have in like a middle school gym that are just rolled off to the corner.
Yeah. Well, Definitely an interesting result with Renee winning. I'm sure there's plenty to talk about here. I would imagine that Renee would be looking to target Ty, as the girly pops have been taking a look at Ty. But we know Ty has been winning these vetoes two in a row at this point, essentially. I think the secondary target would, in fact, be Koozie. So I would personally expect Ty and Koozie nominations here, and then Ty leaving if he doesn't win, and Koozie probably leaving if he does.
Because remind me, Koozie's first HOH, didn't she put up Santina and Renee? Initially,
Santina and Hope. She was going to put up Vanessa, but Vanessa quit.
Gotcha. Okay. I knew it was like two women initially. Okay. Because I was thinking like, oh, it could just be tit for tat. And then, you know, she didn't even get to have a real HOH this last one. So Renee can't really use that as an excuse. But I could easily see Renee thinking, oh, Koozie and Ty, we think that they're huge threats. Why not throw them up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think Claudia and Shania will probably be pushing in that direction as well. Something that the episodes did not show is that there is an alliance that has been formed between Claudia, Shania, Daniel, and Anika, that does not include Renee. But I think it's a pretty obvious move in the first place. You can't let one of Ty or Koozie stay this round if you're the girly pops. One of them needs to go. Honestly, preferably Ty. I would rather have Koozie in the game if I were the girly pops, because Koozie is not as big a threat in physical competitions as Ty is. And Daniel and Nika both know that they can't beat Koozie in the final two, but they probably could beat Ty in the final two. So, or at least would have a better chance to. So Ty is definitely the better target in my opinion. But if they can't get Ty, it does kind of have to be Koozie. There's no way taking Daniel or Nika out is a better move for them. So, I think putting them both straight up is just the play.
They've done a really bad job all season, and by they I mean everyone in the house, of collecting the people who are on the outs but who are not targets, the Santina, Renee type people. Yes, Renee is technically in the girly pops, and I mean it's true, like she's in the alliance, but there was a time when Claudia and Shania like put her way to the side, were mad at her, didn't like her. Even in the safety chain, it's very apparent where their loyalties lie to each other. So it's, I know that earlier in the week you had talked about Ty potentially saying like, oh yeah, I'll pick up Renee or whatever. But I think that especially Renee has been burned so much by everyone in the house that she wouldn't accept any offer, probably even if anyone tried to make an alliance with her. Like this is how badly people have done in the house of trying to keep Renee on their side, is that they just view her as the expendable pawn. And this is what happens when the expendable pawn wins, and you've just set yourself up so badly.
Which is wild, because she's been on the block how many, two or three, I think, times. And I don't know if I have the number right, a lot. And when she's on the block and she's surviving that week, people should be picking her up and they should be keeping her around, knowing that she'll be a number for them. But the fact that she's still aligned with Claudia and Shania so closely and no one else is a little, and sorry, is, yeah, really no one else is kind of scary.
And like, even if you don't want to make a firm alliance, like the fact that Koozie, Daniel, and Nika, that no, any one of them, from what we've seen very limitedly, have not tried to at least be like higher up on the list of the other two with Renee, so that when this happens, you could at least be like, well, I've got my little side thing, my side relationship. It could just be a friendship or something. I mean, we're not seeing that. Maybe it's happening, but from the edit, we're seeing that they're just, everyone else in the whole house has treated Renee like she is a worthless person to have in your alliance. And that's just bad.
And she just won the HOH at Final 7.
Bad gameplay.
But if there is this new alliance of, you know, Anika, Daniel, Claudia, and Shania, you know, Renee isn't aware of this. So why do y'all think that she would even consider Anika and Daniel? Because it's like, I could go after Ty and Koozie, But I also just saw that Koozie was potentially going to go after Ty. So why they're going to go after, they might go after each other. And so it's just like, they can't not see Daniel and Koozie, or Daniel and Anika, as not non-threats.
I mean, I think that it, not only are Koozie and Ty much bigger comp threats, but they are also like the two people that they have that Renee has the worst relationship with. Two people that that both Claudia and Shania will be pitching to go after, mm-hmm. and because they won't want Daniel and Anika targeted. I think it's very unlikely that Daniel and Anika, maybe Anika touches the block if Ty wins the veto, or Koozie wins the veto. But I think that the other of Koozie or Ty would be leaving for sure. Assuming they make those nominations, you can't really take anything for granted. They may. There's a chance that they may decide they want to try to backdoor Ty, but there's only one person that doesn't play in the veto, so that's a very risky proposition. And if you leave Ty off the block, that gives him the ability to use the veto on Koozie, which would force Daniel or Anika out, which is definitely not what you want, especially if you took the shot and missed. I would expect that they would go Koozie and Ty. And then probably Anika on the block as a replacement if needed to send the remaining person on the block out. I mean, it's a huge win for the girly pops here. Guaranteeing that all three of them will make the final six. That's half the house at the final mm-hmm. six. And this was their worst odds of winning HOH, right? Mm-hmm. It was two of them versus four of the rest of the house that were all targeting one of them. And the one of the two managed to win. And now heading into the next HOH, it'll be two versus three, which is much better odds, considerably closer to equal odds. And the fact that you now have all three of you have won at least one competition. Anika is the remaining person that hasn't won a competition. And she also performed the worst in this quiz comp. So, again, you can't ever count anybody out of any competition, but Anika now has the worst track record. And it's not looking terrible to potentially even take down the next HOH. And if they do that, then they're really cooking at that point. And it's, this is a huge, huge win for sure.
I don't even think they're in danger on Thursday. Two versus three, sure. But if Daniel or Anika win HOH, assuming one of Ty or Koozie goes, a double's such a perfect time to take mm-hmm. out that other big threat, especially in one of those quick, like double eviction vetoes, whatever it might be.
That's true, but I think I think you have to consider that leaves you very vulnerable at five. Like if it's, say, Daniel wins the final six HOH in the double, mm-hmm. he takes out Koozie. Now all three girly pops are playing against Anika in the final five HOH, and if one of them wins, you have to either hope that Claudia and Shania really wrongly stick to your final four deal and take out Renee, which is a very bad move for them. And I have a hard time believing they would do that. Or that, Anika wins that HOH. And even then you're still in some potential danger if the wrong person wins veto. So that, that's the thing. Ty leaving puts Daniel and Anika in kind of a rough spot at the final six, because they now kind of have to take a shot at the girly pops, which means that they're keeping Koozie to final five, and Koozie's such a jury threat that even letting her that close is also really dangerous. And they're very well positioned, but the end game is looking harder because these girly pops are just keep winning.
They're kind of playing well, and by kind of, I mean they're really playing well. These two back-to-back comp wins are huge.
Huge.
Yeah, and for sure. Renee can win HOH, anything is possible. So
can Anika win? Does she have winner equity at this point?
So I think, here's the thing. I think Anika beats Shania and Renee, at least as of prior to this HOH. I think she beats Shania and Renee, loses to probably everyone else.
Because of the crown connection?
Crown connection. Basically, what the jury has been saying, to me at least so far, is Koozie number one. I would say they're ranking Daniel number two of the people that are left. Claudia number three. And then, Shania and Renee at the bottom, except for Dan, who has Shania higher. And then Anika kind of like,
she's been doing all right. Like, I like her, but how much has she done? You know, versus like Shanae and Renee, they're like, yeah, they haven't done anything. I'm not going to vote for them. And then Ty, like, yeah, I don't think he's going to make it, I think was said once. I don't think I would vote for him, but we'd see. So like Ty, it's not impossible that Ty could win, but I do think he'd probably need to be sitting next to Anika or below on that list. I don't think he beats Claudia or Daniel, or certainly Kuzi. But again, things can change. And Renee winning this HOH could change the perception of Renee to a degree, especially if she is the one to get out either Ty or Kuzi. That could be big. That could be big for her resume. People could be like, okay, Renee, the problem is that I don't think anybody on the jury is looking for a reason to vote for Renee. They're not like, I would love to vote for Renee, but she hasn't done anything. Oh, here we go. She won an HOH, took out a big threat. Yay, go Renee. Now I can feel good about voting for you. Most people in the jury don't like Renee, like actively don't like Renee. So I would imagine that it's going to be like more along the lines of like, okay, good for you, Renee, but I'm not ready to vote for you yet. Would be the thing, and she'd need to keep doing things to really make them begrudgingly go, okay, I guess I have to vote for Renee. And that's a tough place to be.
Renee, Ty, final two.
They'll be so interested. That'll be fascinating.
Be fascinating to see who the jury votes for.
That's the thing. You know, Renee was Ty's biggest layup in the final two. And now that she has this HOH win, like maybe not even quite as much of a layup anymore.
Yeah, they have the same amount of HOHs at this point.
you know, in those Shakespeare plays, you know, when there's like a comical character who randomly says things that either has foresight or like tells the future. I just feel like sometimes Renee is that person where she's in the DR, like talking about her bootay and she's losing comps and kind of like being that comic relief a lot of the time. And then sometimes she just cuts through and says something like, see their reaction. Yeah, Shanae, that's how you know that you use the veto. Tonight she said, how are you the one holding the power to Claudia? And we're all still on the outs. And now she's got this HOH. Sometimes that person is at the end of the tragedy, standing there recapping it.
Yeah. You know, there was another really insightful thing she said a few episodes ago.
I'm pissed. Capital P-I-S-S-E-D, pissed. I'm getting the heat for something I didn't even do. What the heck? I'm pissed. Pissed. My plan for the rest of the day is try to unpiss myself.
And she might.
She did it. She finally did it. She unpissed herself.
It took a lot more than one day. What's so interesting about Renee is that she's like, you talk about bitter juries. She's like bitter house guest while she's in there. And I don't really even mean that in like a bad way. Like, she has been so like just treated so poorly because, you know, she had that. It really all started. She got that first dead last. She gets put on the block, continues to get put on the block. No one wants to work with her, kind of a social pariah. Even the girly pops don't really trust her. And then she gets the, you know, the whole pissed situation and goes through all of that. And as each of these things are happening, she's getting more and more upset. You know, the times when we've seen the wider group of girls trying to get together and Renee's like, yeah, well, you know, you kept me on the block, or you didn't, you know, you didn't reassure me, or you were sad about Jonathan or whatever. Like, she is just keeping this list, this like Arya Stark list of things I'm mad about that other people are doing, to where I don't think that she even cares about like trying to get people on her side or having a good social game. At this point, she's just like, I'm done. I'm here to just like burn it to the ground. And now that she's won, she's going to be able to actually like show some people this is how bad it is. So I get that she has playing a horrible social game now, but it's like it's spiraled from what other people have done that I feel like she's just got nothing to lose. So it's fascinating to watch someone like this.
Hopefully she gets HOH-itis and just goes off. Right.
She's like, Claudia, Shanae, you're not safe. Everybody's up for grabs.
This could be one of the first times where an HOH like doesn't actually have anyone try to come and like work with them, but just like everyone else just mad about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because like you think so with her saying like she's always the third wheel, or like us acknowledging she's the third mm-hmm. wheel, you would think this HOH would spark something in Claudia or Shania to try to be, try to make Renee think that they're her number one. Mm-hmm. So then, okay, at least they're like, she would prioritize me over her. Like if worse comes to worse, we don't know what would happen. We don't know who's going to try to quit this week. She runs out of options. So I wonder, are they going to take advantage of that or just continue to treat her like the Renee they've been treating her this whole time and think, oh, it's Renee. Like she's going to do whatever we say to do because of the girly pops or whatever. I hope it's the former, but we'll see. Because I mean, if they do, I hope she just does whatever.
It could be a lot of fun. Like she also just won a mental comp, which means that she might be one of the favorites to win these late game comps if she does stick around. And you know what me, Renee, and Taylor Hale have in common?
You're all on the block week one.
There's a trend. Who knows?
Oh boy. Wow. All right. Well,
don't ever point a fake finger at me. Ever.
What is a fake finger?
Don't know.
She always sounds like she's like mocking herself. I can't put my finger on it what the exact scenario
Your
is.
Fake finger?
I think it's yeah. self-aware. I think she knows that she's doing this. Like it's kind of a bit for her.
Oh boy. All right. Well, we did also have a whole episode before Renee won. This is what there's so much more intrigue and discussion and stuff to think about and talk about when you get an HOH result in an eviction episode. So at the beginning of this episode, we saw Ty, you know, having just won the veto. He says, "Hey, I'm officially the Big Brother Canada 11 comp beast. You can't stop me. It's ball game." I mean, he's not really wrong. Although I'd say if he leaves this week, I would say he comes just short. If he wins again this week, I think, yeah, you can't. That's it. He's the guy. But
that 4-win threshold.
Yeah.
I want to know how many shots in basketball, how many games of pickup basketball has he actually scored the game-winning point and was able to say ball game? Because I feel like he feels like this is his time. Like it's never happened before, but now he can finally hit it home, ball game.
If he's never made the shot and called ball game before it went in to win the game, then he has no right saying ball game.
Right.
I hope if he does win the game that after Arissa reads the final vote for Ty, he just goes ball game.
I would love to see like Ty being like more humble Ty on his best behavior during jury questioning. And then as soon as the last person locks in their vote, he goes ball game. And they're like, wait, hold on. Can we take it back?
I just want to check to make sure I'm not just really ignorant. Is this just a Ty thing or is this like a common thing people say?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's like, as far as I know, like it's not like an uncommon thing for people to say.
But it's not. Yeah, like it's a thing.
Is he saying like, does he mean it like game on? Or does he mean like
I've won?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Like that's like ball game
over.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
It's kind of like how Casey on season 20 was like, oh, let's go is my thing.
Right.
Because she did it so much, but it's like a thing, you know.
just like Boutte is.
Oh, Boutte is all Renee.
Yeah, and see when it's the final two of Ty and Renee, and then we get to like see who's gonna say like, oh my gosh, if it's the final two of Ty and Renee, in her final speech, I need Renee to be like, you tried to get this Boutte on the block. Well, this Boutte's still here. I've unpissed myself, and now I'm gonna take this guy down. And then he stands up and he's like, I'm the best comp beast. Won 4 comps. Ball game.
What there an appropriate go. End to this season that would be.
You don't even need to get to the end. I've already done it.
That's perfectly it. Goofy.
Right.
Could you imagine sitting in a theater of people during the live show watching that happen?
be so, so happy.
My dad's very first experience with Big Brother was the Big Brother Canada 6 finale. And he was watching it. And I mean, that was, those were some good speeches, but he's watching. He's like, I can't even take in a word they're saying because they're screaming and talking so fast. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, they've got a limited time.
And I took myself here. Is that the quote?
Imagine that passion with the bootay stuff.
I took my bootay to this point in the game. I put every one of your bootays in that seat.
I don't think we appreciate enough how much Claudia putting Ty up meant. Like, you rarely see even the most legendary showmances evicting each other. It's at the end game. This is like the middle jury stage. I love it so much. She was like, hey, yeah, you, how many people take a shot at their showmans and miss? Not many, but not many have the guts to do it, Claudia.
Yeah, I really appreciated that from her. Because I remember saying weeks ago that I saw something in Claudia. And I really feel like she can really do something in this game. And I feel like of the three girly pops, she has the highest chance to win. Because I think she could beat both of them. And so I really respect this move. I know that things have flip-flopped since then. And it's, you know, it's like Ty sent her a you up text. And she's like, hey, I forgot I put you on the block. But the fact that she did put him up and he could have gone home. I mean, if like things turned around and she had picked the right person in the veto, things could have turned around. So I appreciate that from her, especially since we don't see it.
I do just quickly. I just thought of another Renee final two speech. I think it would go a little something like this.
It's hard to differentiate the swearing from the screams.
That's the whole speech. but yes, Claudia putting Ty up, I think was and you know what? I got the sense that when we heard this in the intro,
Claudia opted for the biggest, the baddest, the battle tested.
I pick Renee.
Wait, what?
I got the sense that production was also annoyed with Claudia for picking Renee because they really wanted that shot to land. They really wanted Claudia to take out Ty and for them to be like, she took out her showman.
Voted out her mom.
Right.
I mean, has it been discussed, like, was Koozie going to win that competition over Ty?
No, no way. No.
So no. It doesn't matter.
She could have.
You always want to find someone to blame
when
you're mad.
She could have. But, like, should she just have not put Ty up initially? Should she just have backdoored him? Can we get rid of this, like, oh, there's honor in not backdooring someone, giving them a fighting chance. Giving someone a fighting chance is just giving you an out. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't feel like she really wants him to go home.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm kicking you out of my house, but I'm giving you a snack. You know, I'm trying to be a little
bit
nice.
No, it's like, I'm kicking you out of my house, but I've hidden a key in the yard so you can find it and come back in.
It's their jigsaw. That's a, like, do you want to play a game?
I just feel like it was so that after he wins the veto, she can be like, well, I gave you that chance, right? Like, you can't really be mad.
Mm-hmm. And nobody cares.
I'm so glad you want. Yeah.
Nobody's going to be like, well, you know what? You did put me straight up on the block, so I'm actually not going to retaliate. Like,
no.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I used to have a jigsaw mask. Not anymore.
Oh.
Be useful for the podcast, probably.
It got its use.
So Claudia needs to put up a replacement nominee. It's gonna be Koozie. Now, they did cut around this Daniel pitch to the girls in a weird way where they didn't mention the alliance and they didn't mention the fact that he had gone in there after talking to Koozie, but that doesn't really matter for now. The end result is that Claudia is gonna put Koozie on the block, and the reasoning that she's gonna use The real reasoning, by the way, is not what they said in the episode. It's that they have this alliance with Daniel and Nika. So obviously that means that Koozie's going to go up on the block. But the fake reason is that Daniel passed them safety. Just a little excuse to put them up. Another thing not shown in the episodes is that I would imagine shortly before Claudia has this conversation with Koozie, she was told by Daniel, hey, just so you know, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but Koozie's actually fine with going up on the block, because she was. She actually said to the cameras, I'm actually fine. I actually want to go up on the block. I don't want to have to vote out Hope. It gives me a reason to go after Claudia. I think this is actually maybe a good thing for me. She then told Daniel. Daniel told Claudia. So Claudia, I'm pretty sure, comes into this conversation thinking this is a layup. Like she's already fine with going up. I just need to give her the excuses and everything will be fine. She says, okay, Koozie, I am thinking it's you. You know, Daniel did pass me safety in the safety chain. And Koozie's like, excuse me? Who passed you safety in the safety chain? I'm pretty sure it was Daniel, right? Daniel passed me? No, I told Daniel to do that. This was my move. This conversation does not go well.
Yeah, because when it comes down to it, it's not about who passed you the safety. Mm-hmm. It's about who has actually spent the time to build a relationship with Claudia and who has the better relationship with Claudia. And potentially even who just came to Claudia first probably factors in. I mean, so much more of it has to do with like, Koozie, you're the obvious biggest threat out of these three. And also you haven't made a personal relationship with me, or at least not more than Daniel has.
Yeah, so Koozie does a really good job here clocking Claudia's bullshit. Yeah. I think Claudia had a reasonable approach of blaming it on the safety chain, but where I think Koozie went wrong was kind of showing her cards and being like, obviously you're lying to me. The reason why you're putting me up is because if things don't work out, you're fine with me going home and then leaving the room. That's where, like, I think she should have just taken in the info, sat on it. But she's completely right in just acknowledging the nonsense.
Do you think that she knows, though, why? Like, she acknowledges that it's nonsense, but does she get that the reason it's nonsense is because there's a bigger reason and it's that you're a threat? Or do you think that she's just like, oh, Claudia's reasoning doesn't make any sense, but that's just Claudia being dumb? Like,
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think that, you know, there was obvious tension between Koozie and Claudia just a couple of weeks ago. And it was pretty obvious that they were coming for each other. And I think that Koozie was really hoping to use her HOH to like patch that over for a bit and win some points with Claudia. And I think she's frustrated that despite the fact that she made this kind of bold play to take out Santina, which she's probably realized was at least a bit of a mistake, considering that Santina did leave Koozie her Wendy's points, which mm-hmm. is an indication of where Santina actually was in the game. Because why would she like, she's not going to like send Koozie her Wendy's points to be like, I know you kind of took me out of the game, but right. I'm now going to pretend that I would have been loyal to you to make you feel like it was a mistake. That's not Santina. She's probably like, I took out Santina and I'm not even now getting the credit for, I'm not getting what I wanted out of this. She's still clearly coming for me. I'm still clearly the backup after Ty. And on top of that, the fact that she's being targeted over Daniel and Anika, and that now the excuse being used is that they were the ones that saved her. Now they're getting the credit for the move that she made, that she was supposed to get points for with Claudia, and she sacrificed Santina to do it. Like, I think that's just frustrating. I don't know that she's even that mad at Claudia. I think she's probably at least a little bit mad at like herself for the move situation. That was made and the fact that she didn't get what she was hoping to get out of the situation.
I guess I just hope that she sees the danger she's in. I mean, I'm sure she does. She's on the block or was on the block. But yeah, I love Koozie as much as everyone else in terms of, you know, who she is as a person, but it's frustrating to watch the entire crown fall apart so much. And especially just make such horrible decisions when it came to the safety chain and just really misreading, because it's not just that Santina was on their side. Let's pretend that Santina was not on their side, was truly just someone who was completely floating by themselves, ostracized in the middle, not with either side. You have four people because Hope was still there at that time. Five people, I guess. You have five people in your alliance, and you have three people obviously in a separate alliance, and then you've got Ty and Santina. You need to attack the three. Not Ty or Santina, because they're just ones. They could go on either side. But like these next two HOHs, if anyone in those three wins HOH, the other two people aren't going on the block. So it's extremely quick. And once you got rid of Santina, you now have one person. It's just Ty. Ty is the only person who can go home. And if Ty wins the veto, then it's going to be two of you. And it just seemed really obvious. So I'm not sure how they didn't calculate that out.
Mary, I think what you just said, go to my brother-in-law's garage where he has a printing press for some reason and press it into a frame, because you nailed it.
I didn't even like think about this until now, but Koozie Howied her HOH. She pulled a Howie.
Yes.
She went after James, aka Santina. You know, when she needed to target the friendship, and weirdly, like that season, we are now down to a very almost entirely all female ending to a season.
And there's been people in the chat saying like, oh, is this the, you know, like the best or the most successful all female alliance we've had? I don't even know if I can count that, because they're not even like a firm alliance. I mean, like they sort of are sometimes, but it's more like friends. It's like a pair of people, and Renee, who's also there with them.
I think the three of them are solid. Like, even as much as Renee is the third wheel, I think the three of them are pretty locked in. They would go top three. They wouldn't ever nominate each other, I think.
Yeah, they are. They're definitely an alliance, but it's more like they're not, it hasn't been like since day one, the three of us above all else. Like, there was a time when probably earlier in the game, Claudia would have potentially put Ty above Renee in terms of who she wouldn't want to go on the block. So, I mean, that's not really where we're at now. So at this point, sure. Yeah. It can be the most successful female alliance if that's what you want it to be. But
if they make top three, like there's a discussion to be had, or even top four.
Yeah,
because the crown, essentially, they just got too confident thinking that Santina was a bigger threat than three people thinking, oh, these three will never win, so we don't have to worry about this trio. No, it's still a trio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't think Kuzi really thought through. She was like, okay, if I take out Sentina now, then the girly pops will still probably go after Hope or Ty first before they come after me. But that's just 1 week. That's just 1 week thinking. Like, even if that were true, which it did end up being true, then what? What happens if they win again? Now you're screwed.
Mm-hmm. They made this alliance. They're like, we're going to be the top five. And then immediately they lost one of their members. And then they lost the second one the week after.
Because it's like with the safety chain, it's not about or just even if it wasn't a safety chain, if it was just her HOH. I can totally see the massive appeal to want to get Ty out. He's a comp threat. He could be against you, but he's more flexible. And he's not in a firm, firm alliance that's against you the way that the girls are, the girly pops. And so it's like Santina could be acting as sketchy as she wants. Santina could be telling Kuzi, I'm coming for you or whatever. That's still less dangerous because if Santina wins HOH, yeah, maybe she'll put, you know, she could put Kuzi or Daniel or Nika up, but she could also equally put up Claudia, Renee, Shania, or Ty. She could have put anyone up. But when you have to look at the numbers that are against you more than the individual people. You look at the three girls and they're thinking probably not going to win as many competitions, not as dangerous or whatever. But those are three numbers that are not only going to be not with you, against you. And if you get rid of the expendable pawns who could be on the block against you to keep you safe, which is the benefit of having the big alliance. If you get rid of those people, then it's just the big alliance left. It's just, I don't know. It was maddening to watch. And then now, like, look we're going to be, yeah, look at us here. Look at us here. Maybe Ty will go home this week. Maybe.
You know what would be great? Like, you're right. There's this guy, Ty. He has no allies in the house. He's really good at competitions. He's flexible. What an amazing person to join up with. What an incredible, and it seems like some people in the jury don't have that great relationships with him. What an incredible person. What an incredible person to link up with.
We do also see that Daniel is starting to get a little bit annoyed with Kuzi's talking about how this was all her move as well, saying that she's combusting and says, okay, sure. You told me to do that, but I could have done something different. Like I also chose to make the move. In this moment, I was like, guys, stop fighting for credit of this move because it wasn't that great of a move. But it actually wasn't as bad for Daniel, nearly as bad for Daniel. In fact, it might've actually been the right call for Daniel. It has put him in a very good spot. Clearly, you know, this is not sitting super well with Daniel, who is already acknowledging the fact that the Kuzi will need to go at some point. And you know, sometimes you see that when you know that you need to make that move, you have less tolerance for stuff like this because you know you have to start prepping yourself emotionally for having to make the move. And so a situation like this is exactly the kind of excuse that you can sort of emotionally use with even just yourself to be like, okay, that's it. Now I don't have to feel bad about doing what I have to do.
We've gotten the sense that he is someone who kind of feels the moves, but is willing to make them. So I think you're right. He's ready to cut Kuzi when the time is right. He's not going to feel good about it. But like he said, he's strategically placed boulders in front of him. And she is one of those boulders that needs to go if he's going to win.
Yeah. And it's been this way for a while because it even goes back to the Zach stuff when he felt like Kuzi was trying to protect him by he's a big boy, he can make his own decisions about Zach, and so I feel
he's a baddie.
I'm a baddie.
Right, he's a baddie, and so at his core, I feel like he probably thinks that Kuzi doesn't respect his game or maybe him as a player. And I feel like it comes out in these small little annoyances that he has with her. And I just fear that he's going to get one HOH and then realize, let me go ahead and do it.
Yeah. We do get a jury segment I gotta say, I was pretty let down by this one. I feel like we spent half of it with Dan by himself. And that was like, okay.
Non-Dan by himself segments were Jonathan coming in. They don't even make it into the house. He walks in and says, here's what happened. Here's one who won HOH. Here's who I put up. Here's one veto. I understand you want to give that information to him. That is not it. We know this. We don't need to watch that. Unless Dan has a very interesting reaction to that information, I'd rather see almost anything else between the two of them.
They made such a thing about the invisible H. Like, they're trying to justify their twist. Like, oh, it was such a mystery. Oh, it's going to be revealed. The drama. He doesn't know. He was on the eviction episode talking to Arissa saying, yeah, it was Santina.
Yeah.
Right? How have we retconned this and are acting like he doesn't know? How are we pretending like Jonathan didn't tell him? Like, why is this the main focus of the entire jury segment? And the only stuff we got from about like anything else was just them being like, so yeah, koozie, right? And that was it.
Am I an idiot that I was like, oh, I can't believe Jonathan didn't tell him. Yeah, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
I was hoping, and I don't know if Jonathan plans to do this, but I was hoping we would see Jonathan talk about the crown. And I was hoping we would see Jonathan's reaction to like, okay, you know, Koozie chooses Hope. Daniel chooses Shania. How does Jonathan feel about that? Knowing that he tried to link up Santina and the crown. How do Dan and Santina respond to finding out about the, like, I'm assuming we're going to get some of that stuff later. Maybe Jonathan didn't tell them about the crown. You know, there's still stuff there. Like, at the very least, again, I want to hear from Jonathan about, like, is he upset with Koozie or Daniel, for locking Santina out? Does he think that's a mistake? Like, tell me, I want to know.
Yeah, I could very well see Jonathan being the type of person that thinks like, I'm going to continue to be loyal to the crown here by not saying anything. Let them do their thing until it needs to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
I could as well. Because it's more effective, I think, if you're campaigning for an ally in the jury to not tell people that you're in a secret alliance with them and instead just be like, yeah, you know, I was never working with Koozie, but she's just so impressive. You know, just she's done so good, and she's behind all of these moves that I found out about. So, I think there's sometimes a time and place to be like, actually, there was a secret alliance that she ran. But I think there's also a benefit to kind of keeping it on the down low and just kind of praising the game from the sidelines.
I would be done. I would drop it as soon as I left the house. I would give everyone all the information. I wouldn't play any game. I would not. I don't know if I have the capacity. I do have the capacity, but I wouldn't want to. I would reveal it all.
Especially because this is your only time when you have people right here with more or less your undivided attention. They the second they get home, they may or may not watch the season back. They may or may not see what you actually say it. They may or may not read online everything. Like, right now is your time to try and convince them of what you did.
2 years later, they're watching and they're like, what? Like, you were manipulating me in the jury house? Like, what's wrong with you?
Right. But is that because, like, I know you don't have this experience, Kevin, because you didn't have to do it. But let's say you went to the jury house. Would it be easy to just turn it off like that and be out of game mode and reveal everything? Or do you think it would have to be gradual?
No, it wouldn't be easy to immediately adjust and not wonder if people were real or not. But I think it would be easy to just be like, I had this alliance. This is why I did this thing.
I think it depends on the person. I've definitely heard about certain players who the second they hit the jury, it's like party central, you know, like they just don't care at all about any of the game stuff. And then there are people who just like they hit the jury house and it's like, all right, time to get to work. Time to get them to vote for Godfrey, you know, like didn't work. But I think it definitely depends on the person. So yeah, jury segment. Hope is going to make some pitches. He's actually going to campaign a bit. I actually thought like his pitches weren't terrible. To Ty, it was kind of okay. You know, he said, "Hey Ty, you know, like you and me together, we would just crush these endgame comps. We could work with Daniel and Anika." Interesting to me. Ty says Daniel and Anika will not stay true to that. They will turn on. I think the problem with this pitch is it's actually better to be the only person winning comps than trading off with somebody else, because let's say you lose an HOH and now the two of you are on the block. I'd much rather not have to compete with Hope than have to compete with Hope, because now it's not a team game anymore. It's individual. So that argument to me would backfire. And I would be like, oh, actually, I definitely do want to go on Hope. And he's also working with Koozie. So
Ty's kind of gotten good at the game. Like he doesn't, it's a bit late and it's kind of hard to navigate these structures, but I don't know. It seems like in the last week or so, he's been having some really interesting conversations. So like, okay, this guy's making a good point. Like even today with, with Claudia and the gummies where he was mapping out the alliances.
Oh like, yeah. Yesterday.
Seeing him talk to Hope. Like, I don't know. I like Ty game talk these days.
Those gummies did make sense. And I bet he's glad he stayed.
I think Ty has always had a decent understanding of like just basic strategic structure of like where things should go. His issue has always been like terrible reads and overconfidence. So like he feels super comfortable taking out players like Rob and Dan in spots where he absolutely shouldn't, because he's so overconfident and misreads people that he's like, I can control everyone in this house, so I can take out whoever I want. If I control everyone in the house, then I can take out the biggest threats first, and that'll make it easy for me, which is theoretically true, but not true if you don't control everybody in the house, which he didn't. But now that he's in a spot where the strategy is very simple for Ty, he doesn't trust anybody. He doesn't have anybody. He's accepted that. And so as an individual player, all he has left to do is maneuver individually. And he's very capable of doing
it. I actually think Hope's pitch to him is really good for him, because Hope hasn't proven that he can win comps.
In his mind, he can. He is a competition beast.
Hey, Kevin, I want to ask you about that because you'd know better. Does it make sense at this point in the game, in this like mid to late part of the game, that if you're going to make the argument of like we could work together to win comps, you actually want to have a opposite skill? Like, oh, Ty, you can win the strength and athletic based ones, and I'm really good at whatever, so that we can balance each other out. I feel like the oh, we'll go back and forth trading wins or whatever, you want that early in the game when there's so many more people and you need to have a couple more numbers to try and win. But I don't know. Or at this point, is it just not, and you just be self-sufficient and you don't want other people to win anything?
For me, I would rather trust at this point in the game than, because I mean, like I was in a position last year where I was deciding between two people who were really good at comps, Josh and JC Lynn. And like, and then you start analyzing like the different skills and what kind of comps, it's sort of turn, and the what kind of comps it could be. And like, I don't know. I feel like if you're trying to guess, other than being good at studying and mental comps, because they tend to mix them, I would just rather the ally that I can trust versus the one that I know can win stuff. Because especially at this point, like anybody can win anything, as we saw tonight.
Hope also makes a pitch to Daniel and Anika. And I thought this was in some ways an even better pitch, but in other ways kind of fell a bit flat. He says to them, hey, Koozie's going to cut you guys. She's going to go with Ty. She has the final two with Ty, which is not untrue. We saw earlier in the episode that Ty was pitching a final two with Koozie. And if Koozie was smart, she would take that up, because she beats anybody. And if anybody is willing to take her, then she should take that up. We know Daniel and Anika aren't willing to take her. So she might as well. Is she actively looking to cut Daniel and Anika? Probably not. But if you can take out Koozie now and have Hope riding for you, winning comps for you, like that's not the worst, least appealing idea ever, right? Hope is still a threat ahead of you because of comps. He's again, winning those comps for you, willing to take one of you to the final two. You can probably beat him. There's some appeal there. There's two major issues, though, I think, with this pitch that Hope has. One, he could have controlled, which is, he says, Koozie and Ty have a final two, so that's why you should want to keep me. And they're like, okay, well, who is Ty voting out? Oh, Koozie. Real strong final two they must have then. it kind of undercuts his argument there a bit.
Now, when he was saying that they had a final two, is this just something he's guessing or making up in order to try and throw Koozie under the bus? Or did he hear about this or know about this in some
it
way?
It wouldn't surprise me if Ty told him that he's got a final two, okay, Koozie, to be honest. Because Ty trusts Hope. Again, Ty, his reads are terrible. He's been trusting Hope for like a month after he tried to get him ejected from the game, and Hope has never forgiven him for it. Like, that's Ty. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he actually just straight up told Hope, I've made a final two with Koozie.
But isn't the other flaw with this campaign from Hope to Anika and Daniel that, you know, with him being able to win competitions for them, Koozie has won more than him at this point. It's hard to, you know.
Yeah. Well, the other major issue, I think, here is something Hope is not aware of, which is that, again, Daniel and Anika have this final four deal with Claudia and Shania. So they're not going to make a move without Claudia and Shania's approval at this point, because it's not really worth it. The relationship slash alliance that they have with those two is worth more than whatever minute differences there are between Koozie and Hope, in my opinion, and I think probably in theirs, that, like, yeah, we're taking out Hope right now. That's what they want. And it also benefits us because we'll keep Koozie around and Hope leaves and we'll be, you know, whatever. If they decided to change their mind, they could certainly go to Shania and Claudia and be like, hey, we actually think that maybe we should take out Koozie. Maybe they could make a case for that, especially since Koozie is, you know, does not exactly have the best relationship with the two of them at this point. But you have to convince more than just Daniel and Anika right now. And I would assume that Hope probably waited pretty long to make these pitches. So I don't think there was probably even enough time for any of that to happen.
Pretty complex structure to campaign to. Because he's got to give Renee and Shania a reason to keep him, who are also going to be closely aligned with Claudia. He's got to give a reason to Daniel C. and Anika, basically, based on the way the numbers felt. It's almost like, hey, go make a final four with Daniel C., Anika, Shania, and Claudia or Renee. Like, Hope almost has to be like, go do that. I'm with you. You'll have the numbers. You can cut me next year. I don't know. It's not an easy situation to navigate.
It's a threat. Yeah, it's kind of close to what Johnny did in season six in Bubican six. You know, having to convince almost like basically three separate groups to be okay with him staying in order for him to actually stay. In this case, Hope just needed to convince two, but even that is kind of tough.
Hope's the butterfly of hope, not death.
I think this also really shows how well situated Koozie is. Like, we know she's a big threat. They know she's a big threat. They just had her on a silver platter with Hope, who will be super loyal to anybody, and they still sent Hope home. So it's like it says something to obviously her likability, which what we've seen with everybody in the jury house so far. But then I also, this situation specifically makes me think it's going to be really difficult getting her out, even if she's on the block.
I think moving forward, she goes home against anybody other than Ty, probably. But I think you're right. I mean, I think she still has some outs. Like, Ty is still a threat. The girly pops are still a threat to a degree. So if she's like on the block next to, but how does she get there unless she's put up by, she probably wants to avoid the block.
You know what? You know what though? I've seen, and I'm one of the people who said, you know, maybe the last like couple of weeks, Koozie's kind of made some incorrect decisions. This is the time, just because you've made some of those decisions, and just because you're not maybe running the game like you were a week or two ago, these are the moments. Like, she has a chance, and if she can pull this out and somehow start surviving against someone who isn't Ty, or pulling out some of these moves or working out the right deals, like, I'm here for it. I would love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, she only needs to survive what, like, four ish more evictions, seven down to six, five, four, just three, four. Just okay, five evictions.
The quarter of the game.
But, you know. Yeah. And there's some outs, you know, like, I think Ty is the target ahead of her right now. And then, you know, if you're Daniel and Anika, you probably have to deal with one of the girly pops before you deal with Koozie. That's two potential, you know, evictions she could slide by. And there's just three. She can win a comp here or there. Like, it's not impossible. And she has that just automatic win if she makes it to the final two. So, I definitely wouldn't count her out. Like, yes, she has put herself in a considerably worse spot than she was coming through here. And I think there were situations that would have been much better for her, like if Santina and Jonathan were still around. But she's not done by any means. She's still absolutely in it with a shot to win. In fact, I think, honestly, at this point, I think most people are. I don't think anybody's completely drawn dead. With Renee winning this HOH and potentially getting some credit, I don't think she's completely drawn dead yet. So
isn't that cool? We got a veto used every week. We got a new HOH in week seven or whatever it is. Like, I think you look at the chart on Wikipedia at the end of the season of when the veto was used and who the HOH is. I like the structures going on. There's a lot happening. Let me get a Daniel has a veto comp. Daniel HOH next week.
It's Anika. A pretty good spread. And the comps, you know, the early comps were definitely very physical, and the bros were winning them. Luckily for us, the bros targeted each other. And since then, the comps have been a bit better, a bit more even, and the spread has been pretty good. And we have a great structure because of it. I really feel like the kinds of competitions matter so, so, so much when it comes to creating structures like this, where there's back and forth and things that shake up. If you have comps that are winnable by the same kinds of people over and over, then the same people will win over and over, and the power will stay consolidated and the game will be boring. So I think definitely some of what we saw last season with more, you know, equitable comps, I think is definitely helping out the season. We also got something in this episode that I didn't even realize I was missing it from the season until we got it, which was, you know, Hope speaking in his native language, which was very cool, and just like giving this speech and talking, just like a human segment of like, these are people who have their own cultures, their own sort of personalities and histories, and they're coming together and they care about each other, and it's more than just what's happening in the game itself. I feel like this is something that the Big Brother Canada in particular has been leaning in on since season 9. We got a lot of it on season 9. We got a decent amount of it on season 10. I feel like they've kind of been lagging behind this season on it. I don't know if that's because there just haven't been many personal moments like this in the season, but I was really happy to see this segment. I thought it really helped ground me in these players, especially since we don't have live feeds, to be like, okay, these are like real people more so than before.
So hear me out. I've got an idea. What if like Big Brother Canada came up with a way that we could get just like a little bit of extra time seeing these people as people, just like some moments maybe of them like strategizing together or talking together, that we could see. They could like put it online so we can watch it sometime. That's like not
like whenever we want
shows. Like whenever we want, because it'd be difficult to like edit it together, but like we would be able to get more of this so that when we watch the show, we feel like we really know the people. What about something like that?
Problem That's with that though,
it would probably would never it, work. It would probably
would
never
it be
work.
Good for their mental health to be showcased more as human beings and have like some sort of check on the producer's power so that they can't abuse them like they do on other shows. I don't know.
It's better though if we have to assume, because then we can make up whatever we want.
Right. Yeah, and then they're more like caricatures this way. So it's like kind of easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And after people leave, they can say that you didn't see everything.
Right. And then they're right.
And then they're right.
I I'm a proud Canadian. What a beautiful conversation in that room with the crown minus Johnny. Like that was, I'm sappy. I love that stuff.
This is what I really wanted to see from Jonathan's eviction episode. Because Jonathan, we know, had some really emotional goodbye conversations. And I know I talked about it already, but like, I really wish we had gotten more of this during Jonathan's episode as well. Cause I think that also would have been really powerful. He had some really great moments. And so I'm happy that in a packed episode, we managed to fit this in because I think it was important. Right. So by a vote of 4-1, Hope has been evicted. Ty votes to evict Koozie.
Why did he do this?
We were not expecting this.
What? I thought they had a final two.
Blame Daniel C.
So there's a couple of options, obviously. One is maybe Hope's pitch actually worked. He said he thought he had Ty's vote. Maybe he actually did. Number two, and maybe, because let me tell you, when that conversation that was in the episode, Ty talking to Koozie about final two, it was in the drop. And let me tell you, she barely gave him anything. We kind of saw it in the episode, but she was like, yeah, I'll take you as far as final four. And then, you know, you can take it from there. And that was basically in response to him saying like, hey, we should go to final two together. She's pretty much turning him down, not really giving him much there. It's possible he recognized that and was like, okay, I guess we're not doing a final two then. And then when Hope was saying, yeah, let's go, let's make this happen, he was like, okay, why not? I've got nobody, who cares? So it's possible that's what happened. It's also theoretically possible that him and Koozie made some kind of deal. Hey, you vote against me, it'll make it seem like we're not together. That would actually be pretty smart, I think. Now, it's dangerous, only 5 votes, but considering that this is one of the big reasons why Koozie might end up on the block this week, Koozie could really use this. Like, if the issue is, hey, what if Ty's going to use a veto on her? Or what if, you know, we can't have the two of them in the game together? If Koozie can be like, I am after Ty, he voted for me, you know, that gives them something. Is it worth the risk of him casting a vote like that? Maybe not, but that's another possibility, I think. Otherwise, I don't really know.
I think that play is too smart, so I don't think that that's it. I think it could be that Ty alone figured he could blame someone else, and I... Like, how funny would it have been if he was like, I'm going to vote against Koozie. I'm going to blame Renee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that would have blamed Renee. Absolutely. Because he has something against Renee. He doesn't trust her. He did, like there's, that's why I don't think her getting HOH, I think that they have been at odds too much for him not to end up on the block.
Mm-hmm. How much should we expect for them to be for like, okay, he goes to Renee. She's like, listen, I'm trying to figure out who was the vote against Koozie. For Ty to be like, I thought it was you.
So if he's going to blame it on someone, I don't like it, but it's got to be Daniel C or Anika. My issue with it, I don't think anyone's thinking about this, is the vote order. I would be like, okay, I don't remember if it was Shania or Renee first, but it went Shania, Ty, and then the other, and then Renee. I would be like, okay, it was probably a 1-1 to start the vote. So Ty, between Shania and Ty is probably the one who voted Koozie. So I feel like maybe Daniel's thinking like that. Maybe Koozie's thinking like that. It's really hard at this point to pull off like a legit hinky vote.
Yeah, almost zero chance that the last two votes were the Koozie vote, because it's already Hope at that point.
But if he blamed Renee, then we could have Renee being like, don't you ever point a fake finger at me. Now I'm getting blamed for something I didn't even do.
I'm pissed.
That was a good impression.
That was pretty good. Yeah,
that was good.
The do at the do.
Yeah. I didn't even know. It's a little bit of Matt Klein's in there. What are you gonna do? So that's what we have. That was the episode. We saw the dancing, of course. Hope had organized a dance. I thought this was a nice send off. Maybe a little long. But I think it was not, it was like, I thought it was appropriately emotional. I mean, in terms of Big Brother Canada eviction sort of like performances, you've got like a curse on you all, right? Maki's curse, a curse on this house. You've got,
Godfrey, you've got Peter's,
you've got Godfrey jumping up was, he wasn't leaving though. You've got Peter Brown's like whatever that like victims aren't we all kind of thing, and you've got Hope, you know, doing a dance, and I think that this was a pretty good one.
It was also very Hope, like it was very.
It was cute. Very Hope.
Have like a very sweet thing with him.
Yeah, I mean, we knew this was coming, but I thought it was tasteful. It was nice. It was fun. It was his personality. Yeah. It was, I think, because it was him. That's what made it nice. And yeah, it was memorable.
Nice combination of TikTok dances. Very appropriate for the 23-year-old in the house.
Yeah, it's also like it's. I think it's a tough thing to pull off as well. To like give that energy and have it land like. There's no music behind them. Like this is live. Like this could really be awkward. But I think to give that energy and to hope that it's reciprocated in the right way. I think Hope might have a future in entertainment. I think that he's good at this.
He's fun to watch. He's great in the DR. He's very dramatic. Like when he was campaigning or even when they had the group in the room and he was telling them not to, we will always be part of the crowd. Like he's very entertaining.
He'd be a good like motivational speaker, hype man or something.
Yeah. So he does say, you know, he's rooting for Koozie. I thought he made it a little obvious on his way out the door. You will always be my queen. Not that anyone doesn't know already, but like between Koozie getting all these Wendy's points and everybody being like, Koozie, I love you so much on their way out the door. You know, it's everyone.
What are the Wendy's points? What are they going to be?
I mean, I would imagine at this point, Koozie is so far ahead. It's definitely going to be Koozie who gets them. The question is it Wendy's breakfast, Wendy's dinner, Wendy's lunch. You know, that's the real mystery. Like, what kind of advantage will you have to have some French toast sticks? You know, it's tricky. You know, I don't know.
Last year, the red door was the final four HOH. I wouldn't be surprised to see it as an advantage in that HOH at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think an advantage in a comp.
Still there then.
I think an advantage in a comp might be the play there for sure. And I agree as well. I think it's going to be close to the end. That's what I was thinking, you know, last week when we were talking about the Fatal Feast was like, obviously they want to keep this around until the end of the season. They're not just going to do it like this week. I would imagine when there's 2 weeks left and then Wendy's doesn't get a full season of Wendy Point sponsorship, whatever. So I would imagine it comes into play in the final week. Who knows? Final Four HOH is also like a decent one to do too, because it's basically just immunity. Mm-hmm. But I guess we'll find out.
That'd be the best situation for her. Let's say she's still in the game. She gets that Final Four HOH and she's still there with Anika and Daniel. Because then she doesn't have to send one of them home.
I mean, she wins that Final Four HOH. Then it's just winning that final three HOH and it's ball game.
Ball game for her bootay.
All right.
Two things that haven't. One is just that we haven't mentioned. One is just we need to stop normalizing gummy bears as an option.
Yeah.
It's enough. It's
she
not.
Said she almost drew gummy bears.
And then she would have burned her relationships, not just with Koozie, with Daniel and Anika too. So we got to stop that. And then the other thing I had also was there was this little moment where Nico is like, I'm good with Renee or Claudia. And Claudia walks in the room. Those are my favorite Big Brother moments where you're just talking about someone just enough and you walk in. And she spent the rest of that day being like, did Claudia hear me? Maybe. Yep. And there's no way to know. Like koozie in the bathroom.
Yep. Yep. They were talking about that today. They're like, you really think she didn't hear us? She did.
It's going to sit with them.
I really wish she did.
All right. Any other thoughts from the episode?
It was an okay episode.
Yeah. It was decent.
The speech is, I don't know. Hope's eviction speech. She just gave up. Koozie's was like, nice to hope. I don't know. I want to see fight till the end.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I would love to see this speech. It's so sustained. It gets louder after like 10 seconds.
It's hitting her more and more. Could you imagine if she won? If that's an HOH. What's her reaction when she wins the entire game?
If I told you that was audio from a haunted house, you would believe me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. All right. Well, that's what we have for you then. Make sure you come and check out the robiswebsite.com/Toronto page because you've got to check out those tickets. We're going to be live May 11th for the finale of Big Brother Canada 11, where where we will be screaming just like Renee in response to whatever happens on finale night. And we'll have a good time. We'll talk about the finale. You'll get to hang out with some fun people. Like these people, all of these people will be there on finale night, and it'll be a very good time.
And more.
And more. Yeah. More even still coming. So
75% of this panel will be there.
Oh, rub it in.
So check it out. Make sure you get your tickets. The Survivor show is already sold out, so you don't want to wait too long. You can of course always find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Darren Armstrong, watching these episodes live with all of you. And I'll be back tomorrow to update you on whatever we get on the drop. I will be speaking with Hope tomorrow morning. So you can check that interview out at some point tomorrow as well. And then we'll be
back. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
Because he's just fun to listen to. I'm excited for his legs and press.
See what Hope has to say. Mary, what do you got going on?
Not too much right now. Oh, that's a lie. I've been on 5 podcasts this week. All right. So let's break it down. You can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary to see what's going on. But, of course I'm here with Asia and we just wrapped up coverage of Love is Blind season 4. So make sure you check out the finale and reunion recap we did this week. The podcast might've been late, but so was the show. So it's not our fault. That was a really great conversation we did with Omer and Mari. And I was on Crime Scene, that's coming out next week, talking about the Netflix documentary on the Boston Marathon bombing. So that was a really heartbreaking conversation, but a really great documentary. And so you can check that out next week. And of course, you can always check out everything over at Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K, where we're wrapping up the final season of Riverdale.
All right, Asia, how about you?
Yeah, so y'all can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Asia Like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Yes, Love is Blind coverage. Make sure you check it out. We had a great time recapping every drop this season. So if you have not caught up, if you're behind on watching Love is Blind, make sure you catch our coverage. I'm also podcasting about the show Married at First Sight with my co-host Jason Reed over on our podcast called A Perfect Match. Episode 16 of season 16 is dropping this week. So make sure you check it out. You don't even have to watch the show to enjoy it. We have a great time talking about that show. And then anything else that I'm up to up until I head up to Toronto for the RHAP Live. I'm very excited. Get to meet this guy right here. Get to see Taryn again. I'm very excited. Yeah. Up until then, yeah, I'll just tweet about it. So make sure you give me a follow.
All right. And Kevin.
Yeah, I'm on all the socials at Kevin Ted Jacobs. I got a lot going on, but newsletter is where it's at. Find it in my pinned tweet. I'll be at RHAP Live in Toronto. Very excited about that. I'm excited to watch with everybody. It's the Big Brother VIP 2 Albania finale on May 6th. So if you're an Albanian Torontonian, DM me. And also, I bought Jay's tickets for Tuesday by mistake. So if you want to buy them, let me know.
How's your guy doing in Big Brother Albania?
But he's so they're currently voting for the finalists, and he's in the first batch of voting. He could potentially be named a finalist Saturday during the pay-per-view. We'll see. If he doesn't win, then for the sake of all of us, like let's hope he wins.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you here tonight. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we will see all of you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.